Stacey London is the co-host of TLC's What Not to Wear. She's the co-founder and stylist-in-chief of Style for Hire, a personal styling company. And she's author of the brand new book, The Truth About Style, published by Viking. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Stacey London to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
It is my pleasure, Joe. Happy to be here.
Well, a delight to have you here. How did you get into this particular line of work? Not so much style, but telling us about style and kind of, well, offering us tips along the way.
I would say that it happened by accident. my formal training was in fashion editorial at magazines like Vogue, where I started as an assistant. And, I was in editorial for about 12 years and wound up being an editor at Mademoiselle as a senior fashion editor for 4 years. The instructional part of it, I think, really came after I started on What Not to Wear, which, again, was also an accident, where it was really sort of taking the technical skill that I'd always used in styling photographs or models or celebrities or even real people, and kind of making it practical for everyday use.
When you look at that everyday use, and just by that name of What Not to Wear, why do we get into that position in the first place? Because it would seem that if we're not doing it right, we're at least doing what's comfortable for us.
Well, be careful. The word comfortable is not one I'm particularly fond of.
No, I know.
Here's the thing. What really struck me, and part of the reason that I wanted to write this book, I mean, I've been on the show for 10 years, is that what I think we fail to recognize is the emotional sort of component involved in styling. And part of the reason that I know that it's there is that, you know, What Not to Wear has become such a popular show. And when you see someone transformed from their comfortable clothing or clothing that they're using to hide in, you know, we realize that what we're wearing is very much an extension of how we're feeling. And not all the time, but a lot of the time. And, you know, if you change the way somebody can see themselves, you can actually change the way they feel and think and believe about themselves. I think there's a reason I talk about in my book that seeing is believing is shorthand for that process. And because there's an emotional component, when we talk about the practicality of getting dressed every day, we forget that there's this amazing tool to really aid our self-esteem if we allow that to be the case. And I recognize that by being on the show and watching it happen over and over and over again, when, you know, a woman will put on a pair of jeans that make her butt look great, and all of a sudden, you know, there's new possibilities for her. So it was sort of a slight and subtle and slow progression for me to understand this emotional component and then really be able to talk about that more.
You also make this distinction between style and fashion, which is an important distinction.
Yes. Thank you. I'm not at all trying to demonize the fashion industry. I love fashion as an industry. But I do think it's a little bit crazy to think that an industry should be dictating our self-esteem, regardless of whether it's about clothing, makeup, cars, I don't care. And, you know, it's interesting when you pick it apart, it's just that fashion is a business, and it needs to run on the idea that it's going to keep selling new and inventive things to people every season. Whether or not those things work for us shouldn't be so heart-wrenching. In my opinion, you know, style starts with the individual. You dress in a way to create self-enhancement, not to look like you're the model on the cover of a magazine. Because that sort of is all about comparing and despairing. You're trying to look like somebody you're not. So for me, I just want the individual to take back a little bit of autonomy. And instead of allowing fashion to dictate how we're going to feel, they may dictate the trends, but we should still be choosing our trends based on what works for us, not some sort of blanket overall statement that, you know, if lizard is in this season, we absolutely have to wear it.
And also, there is what... there's our style and what we want to wear and what you suggest what we should not wear. And there is also that the workplace of where you're showing up every day and what may or may not be appropriate. And I don't think there's anyone who is listening to us who hasn't had one of those moments where someone walks into work and you look at them and say, oh dear, what happened?
What happened? Right. Well, you bring up the perfect word. Appropriateness is always a part of style. Being unaware or consciously being unaware of, making the decision not to be aware of your surroundings is a very dangerous one. Look, people are judging you. That is just part of our lizard brain. We judge what's in front of us every 3 seconds. The reason we do that is to, decide whether somebody is a friend or foe, or, whether there's a fight or flight syndrome that needs to kind of kick in. That's part of human nature. Style plays into that in that now our brain has adjusted. Instead of looking to see if somebody is, like, fit enough, to run away from a saber-toothed tiger, we're looking to see what kind of jeans they're wearing or whether or not they have a Birkin bag, because style has become such a part of status and appropriateness. I do think that, the great thing about style is that if you think of it as visual currency, as a way to show the world how you value yourself, you put yourself in a unique position to get that job promotion, to look like a standout in the right place, in the right way, as opposed to completely ignoring it, saying, I'm going to wear what I want. You can't tell me. I do think there are rules to the game, social rules of appropriateness, that if you don't play by, you're going to bear the consequences of.
You do write about this in the book, and it is interesting in that you suffered from severe psoriasis as a teenager.
Yes.
You developed severe anorexia in your senior year in college and then slid into binge eating shortly after graduation. What impact do you think that had on your career and ultimately on your thoughts when it comes to style and what to and what not to wear?
Yeah, I think that all of it informs my philosophy of style, and that was part of the reason that I wanted to write the book. I think everybody loves what not to wear because we really do see those transformations, but it is a format show. And you know that on that show you're going to see me as a style kind of coach and critic, because that's part of who I am, and that's certainly a facet of me. But it's a persona for the show in the sense that that's the only part of me that you get to see. And certainly I have a lot of practical experience dressing people. I've been doing it for 22 years. But that's not the only part of me or the only part of my experience that informs the way I see the power of style. And that certainly comes from all of my struggles, all of which have a great deal to do with self-esteem and appearance and being able to figure out a way in which to kind of, come to some sort of conclusion about those struggles. I don't feel that they were for nothing, and I don't feel that those battles sort of with self-esteem were just sort of, first world problems. For me, it's really been about how to develop a philosophy of style that allows for you to bolster your self-esteem rather than destroying it.
Your father, Herb London, has been a commentator in this radio station for decades.
And he's an awesome guy.
he's great because there are people, obviously our audience, who absolutely love him. There's people who dislike what he says. There's people who love to dislike what he says.
Of course.
But he is such a wonderful force on this station and has been for so long. Your outgoing and very outspoken style, how much of that comes from him, do you think?
Oh, God, I would say at least 68%. My father and I probably we are very similar in a lot of ways. Our viewpoints certainly politically are probably diametric opposites. But he's my dad. He's the best dad in the world. And on top of that, I respect somebody who has come from his such humble beginnings to have the mind that he has. I am really in awe of him, and he has been my biggest cheerleader my whole life, pre-television, post-television, and in that sense, I really do feel like we are incredible supporters of each other, and we can disagree about subject matter, But in terms of being outgoing and certainly having people love us and hate us, you know, we're very similar.
And was that a surprise to you when you came on the show? And I work with a gentleman, Brad, who I've been working with him for quite a while, and he saw that I was interviewing you and was just gaga. I mean, the fact that
wow.
you have that level of fan, is that interesting to you?
It's only interesting to me if that level of fan is really getting something from what I have to say. You know, I never expected to have fans. I mean, we all have fans in our lives.
Sure.
I consider my whole family to be my fans and my cheerleaders. But it really means something to me. I have to say I've been on this speaking tour for the book for the last 18 days, and I've pretty much been speaking in a different city every day or every other day. And that is the reward for writing the book, because I'll tell you, I started off writing this book with the idea in mind that I could illuminate sort of these universal obstacles that I think women really put in their path when it comes to sort of achieving their best sense of themselves and their style. And I wrote it so that women would feel less alone in this kind of, you know, obstacle that they put in their path. But every city I go to and every time I talk to more people, I'm the one who feels less alone. And so if that's what having fans means, then I couldn't be more appreciative.
Well, the name of the book is The Truth About Style. It is published by Viking, and it's an absolute delight, as is the author.
Thank you.
Stacey London, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program, and just thank you for spending time with us. I appreciate it. Best of luck in all the efforts.
Thanks so much. It was great to be here.
A wonderful treat. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, The Truth About Style by Stacey London. It is published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.